Good afternoon and welcome to this episode of the Full Press NFL Podcast. Terrence Biggs with me always. You know him. He is the managing editor of FPC Chiefs, also the social media manager for FullPressCoverage.com. My guy, Braden Holacek. What's going on, man?
Oh, not too much. Closing out the week, of course, here with another episode. Can't wait to get to the running backs today. It's definitely always a interesting position when it comes to free agency, but yeah, excited to see what each of us have here for a top five.
It's a sad and now undervalued position because the running backs are the most disposable, easily dispensed position on the football field. At what point do we get to this?
Yeah, I think you just kind of look at the championship teams maybe. I think that was maybe a part of it throughout the 2010s and now into the 2020s. It feels like there was just so many teams that kind of stuck to this formula, and I just think maybe that had an effect on just the rest of the league for the most part on how they were going to start really valuing that position in terms of pay.
Because I wholeheartedly believe now, if you spend a top 20 pick on a running back, you're wasting a pick. Not because that player isn't good, but you can always get a guy in the second, third, fourth, fifth. The Chiefs got one in the, what, the seventh round with Pacheco?
Yeah, seventh round. I think, like, I want to say around 250 overall, maybe.
But you got a guy there, and he's a two-time Super Bowl winner and one of the most effective backs in the league. The position, like you said, has been devalued, but we need to talk about our top five. Who you got at five?
Yeah, five. This was an interesting one. I'll say Tony Pollard was somebody that just missed this top five for me. I went with Derrick Henry at five. I think there's some obvious signs already of maybe some decline in his game. I believe he's going to already be 30 or 31 years old by the start of next season, but I still had him on this list in this group just because I think there's a chance you could kind of rely on him, just with his past pedigree and his ability to kind of impose his will on opponents. I think if you're a contender, I kind of look at maybe up and coming team like Houston, with Devin Singletary now being due for free agency, or even maybe a Dallas, is a couple spots that I could see being interested in him. It's just hard to know how much he has left in the tank. I think compared to the rest of the guys on the list for me, this is maybe more of a short term kind of strike the iron when it's hot type of play, so to speak, compared to maybe a long term answer, but I still had to put him on this list just because I think his past pedigree and there's just not many people obviously that are built the same way he is and have the same running style the way he is that can still make damage and create havoc against defenses. So I went with Derrick Henry at five.
This one is weird for me. I got Deontay Foreman, late of the Bears, at five because he runs the way he looks. Does that make sense? Like he runs, there's
Yeah.
nothing fancy, north and south, fall forward, get some yards, decent at pass pro, okay as a receiver out of the backfield, perfect guy to start while you're trying to either build your team or trying to contend. He is a play now type of guy. And he's bounced around because he never found a good fit. I thought that the fit with the Panthers 2 years ago was a fit. Goes to Chicago, plays well. They're probably going to show him the door. I think that his combination of strength and power will probably land him a job. He's about, I want to say, he'll be 28 when the season starts. So this is where his prime, he's still relatively in his prime with very few or a smaller amount of carries than a lot of these guys in this list. At four, who you got?
Yeah, four. I'm gonna go with AJ Dillon. Maybe not somebody that a lot of people are maybe necessarily clamoring for, but I think I've been pretty impressed with him when he's been given chances to tote the rock consistently in Green Bay. Obviously, kind of having to contend with Aaron Jones there, another top running back. But I think he's just kind of progressed every season that he's been in Green Bay as a runner, and I think with his size and kind of the surprisingly quick short area burst that he has, I think he can be someone maybe not necessarily a bell cow all three downs, but I think someone you can rely on to just move your offense down the field, keep them on schedule and ahead of the sticks on early downs. I didn't really think much of him coming out of Boston College, but I've been pretty impressed with how he's done in the NFL. I think there could be a worthy gamble there. If you're a team trying to pry him away from Green Bay, I kind of look at the LA Chargers there, with Jim Harbaugh, just with how physical he likes his teams to be, whether it was with San Francisco or recently with Michigan. I think that could be a sneaky fit. I also think maybe the Baltimore Ravens is somebody that would not be afraid to add a more physical, powerful running back like this. So maybe not somebody that a lot of people are necessarily aware of consistently, but AJ Dillon is my number four back here.
Or I thought about Derrick Henry here, but I just think that I just don't see it. I believe it or not, I'm going with Gus Edwards of formerly of Baltimore or currently of Baltimore looking for be a free agent. But a simple fact, a lot like Deontay Foreman, nothing fancy. He's not going to do anything wild. He's not going to do anything weird. He's going to get downhill. He's going to convert inside the 5 yard line. He had 13 touchdowns last year. He doesn't need a whole lot of carries. He's a closer. If your team has a lead late and you want to close the show and shut the door on the opposing team, he'll get that third and one. He'll get that second and two. He might, if you run him 10 to 12 times during the game, he wears out a defense. So that 2 yard run in the first half will be a 7 or 8 yard run in the second. He wears you out. He's like a boxer. He's a body puncher. He just slowly wears you down. He breaks you eventually. And I think that he could be had for a reasonable deal. He'll probably be 29 when the season starts, I think. So this is a lot like Foreman. Get it now while you can. At three, who you got?
Yeah, number three, I'm gonna go with Austin Ekeler. I obviously think that he's not gonna be for every offense out there that is looking for a running back. I think I think if you have a creative offensive mind running the offense, he could be somebody that maybe still has a little bit of untapped potential with his dual threat ability and savviness in the passing game as a pass catcher. In the run game, I still think there's some upside there where he's willing to kind of run through guys. He can take on contact pretty well. But he's not going to be, if you're looking for someone to kind of be a 1,000 yard back and lead your offense kind of in rushing every season, I don't think he's going to be that guy. But I think you look at what he's been able to do in his career, obviously former UDFA, the hard work that he's put in and just kind of the ability he can kind of open up things for the entire offense. I have to go with Austin Ekeler at three. For Fitz, it's kind of an interesting one. I think I would maybe mention another team that I kind of mentioned for Derrick Henry in Dallas, just because I think how they're kind of built as an explosive unit right now. I think he could be a fit there. Minnesota is kind of another spot. I kind of think with the Kevin O'Connell offense there coming off the Sean McVay tree, I think he has the creativity that could really utilize Eckler's strengths pretty well. So I'm gonna go with Eckler at three.
At three, I got DeAndre Swift. Simple fact, I think he just turned 25 about a month ago, so he has youth on his side. He also has benefit of the fact that he has never been the man, even though he comes off a 1,000-yard season. He hasn't been the 300, 310 carries per season guy. More of he gets his yards in bunches. I thought the Eagles misused him because you have a guy who can convert, but they were all in on the tush push. They're all in on having your quarterback vulture every short yard of such that you could possibly have. And if you're a running back, you don't want to play in that. Now you mentioned Fitz. Honestly, a team like the Ravens fit because if you have a backfield with Lamar Jackson, you need a running back who can do a little bit of run and pass. So that helps the read option. Honestly, a team like the Raiders fit where you're not sure if Josh Jacobs wants to break the bank and he has to come in with reasonable expectations. I like Swift. He can catch, he can block. He's a good starter for the next 4 years in this league in the right system. Next on your list, who you got?
Yeah, number two for me, I'm gonna go with Josh Jacobs. You just kind of mentioned him there, not knowing what's gonna kind of happen with him and Vegas. I do think he's kind of one of those guys that I don't think anyone can really obviously necessarily put this in maybe a scouting report for guys coming out of the draft or even just top abilities that you're looking for free agents. But I think there's just a toughness and kind of an anger that Jacobs runs with that you're not gonna find with every running back available in this free agent class. So I kind of like that added attitude from Josh Jacobs. I think he's kind of out to prove a lot of things right now too. So I think that could be really, really, really dangerous if he gets in the right situation for a contender and how they can utilize him. So I think after just seeing how he did in Vegas every year, it seems like kind of underrated vision, being able to read the field. I don't think a lot of people think about that necessarily when they think about Josh Jacobs, but I think can do a lot of different things for you. He's not going to be maybe a 10 in a lot of areas, but I think just all around solid back. So I'm going to go Josh Jacobs at two. I think with the idea of maybe him wanting to break the bank, I think of the Chicago Bears. You're going to have a likely new quarterback there if they move on from Justin Fields, number one pick. I think they moved up to number one in cap space after cutting some veterans yesterday. So Chicago, I think with the cap space they have, the kind of need to kind of switch some things up there on offense, that's a spot to me that I could definitely see Josh Jacobs maybe being a fit for.
Ooh, I got Saquon Barkley. Not because I don't value him as a lead back, but New York used him a lot in the last 2 years. In 2022, he had 352 touches. 2023, he had 288 touches. Granted, he had four touchdowns receiving and 16 touchdowns rushing over the last 2 years, but that's a lot of use. That's a lot of miles going into your 25, 26, 27-year-old seasons. And I think that you mentioned a team like the Cowboys. Barkley fits that. He fits that role. And plus, there has to be the added incentive of wanting to stick it to his former team twice a year. And I think that spite and pettiness always factors in free agency because if you can possibly play your team in the same conference, same division, and if they let you walk, you feel a little bit hurt by that. And I think this will provide him the motivation to want to stay in NFC. Who's your number one?
Yeah, number one, that's who I'm going to go with right there is Saquon Barkley. You mentioned kind of the heavy usage. Obviously, he's had some injuries as well in his career, but I think just him being able to be as effective in the pass game as he is in the run game. I think maybe athleticism wise, I know it can obviously kind of go away quickly for guys at this position at running back, but I think athleticism wise, if you're looking to kind of be an explosive offense, I think he maybe provides the most appealing set of athleticism there, just with his ability to have open field speed and get away from guys, or obviously change the direction, get some extra hidden yards by cutting some runs back across the field. So you mentioned Dallas. I think that would be a good spot. I know Houston has kind of been in the rumors heavily surrounding Saquon with the up and coming team they got there. That would be, I think, a pretty exciting fit. I would maybe go back to Chicago just because of the cap space if Barkley's looking for that big deal. I think there's kind of a sneaky fit out there too for someone like him. I would say the Cincinnati Bengals. I know they got some tough decisions to make, but if they move on from Joe Mixon, I believe entering the last year of his deal, you could save, I think, a little under $10 million by moving on from him. And I could just see an offense like that valuing him and his skill set as it is currently in his career. So I think there's a lot of fits. The Houston one's pretty exciting to me, but I had to go with Saquon at number one.
Think for me, one, I got Josh Jacobs. Having watched all 73 of his regular season games and watched him as far as he's evolved as a running back, as a runner, like you said, runs angry, runs with good pad level, runs with great balance, quicker than you think, a little faster than you think. The only knock is this: he offers very little in the passing game. Where, yes, over his 6 year career, he has 192 career catches, no touchdowns, none. He has never had a receiving touchdown in his entire career. His hands, he's good at dump offs and swing passes. Anything intricate, he is not your guy. We mentioned the Cowboys. Josh Jacobs is from Tulsa, Oklahoma, right next door. I'm not sure if he grew up as a Cowboys fan, but right next door, it makes this a complete sense to me where he could find somewhere where Dallas would be willing to pay him. And I think with Jacobs, he sees kind of the writing on the wall where he said he wants to return to the Raiders because of the presence of Antonio Pierce, but he also said for the right price. That's the caveat here. Plus, the Raiders are in the best position because they have Zamir White, who in relief of Jacobs performed well. He's the one who rushed well against the Chiefs, that power running attack. Not sure if he's a number one back, but he might be a great number one as far as economy because he's still under team control when they could draft, my hope, Braylon Allen out of Wisconsin. That would be my hope. Now, when we come back from break, I want to break down those that we didn't talk about and kind of see if, two-part question, do they still have worth? And do you think they'll be highly valued as a free agent? But that's after this quick timeout. You are listening to the Full Press NFL podcast on the FPC Radio Network. We are back with the Full Press NFL podcast. Terrence Biggs, Brandon Holacek. Brandon, we went through our five, and there we have there's a list because there is about, I'd say, about seven or eight other backs that we didn't discuss in depth. Now, one of them that we you touched on, Derrick Henry, at 30 years old, he did run for 1,100 yards, 12 touchdowns. Because of the wear and tear and the usage, do you think that his best days are long past?
Yeah, I think probably the very best of Derrick Henry is gone. I think it's always interesting to see you look back kind of at his stretches in Tennessee, even some of his best years. There was kind of those soft muscle injuries that popped up here and there in training camp or in the preseason. Kind of a little bit of a slow starter even in some of those best seasons to open the year. So I think we've probably seen the end of him maybe being a bona fide number one. I think if you get him on a contender or a team that can be at least pretty balanced or a little bit more pass heavy. I think he's one of those guys that you just look to utilize in certain spurts or certain situations to really ice the game or finally kind of give that final knockout punch and wear people down at the end of the game, maybe in a tight contest. So I think his best days are probably behind him. And I think he'll really kind of look at the contenders really more than anything, I think, for his landing spot.
Now, here's a name that is definitely you definitely know well. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, CEH, came in first round pick, played well, injury problems, was supplanted by Pacheco. What's his market? He's only 24. He'll be 25 when the season starts, and he's only had about 3 years worth of usage. Where do you think he falls?
Yeah, I guess I would not be 100% shocked if he came back to Kansas City. I think there's always a little bit of loyalty, I think, for certain offensive pieces that Andy Reid will continue to have. But I still think it's probably more likely he leaves than he doesn't. It's really, really tough because I think at best he'll probably be an RB2 elsewhere, obviously. I think you look at some landing spots, I could see Baltimore being a sneaky one just because I think there's some dual threat ability that he can still provide. I don't think he ever kind of reached what some people envisioned in the passing game with the Chiefs, but there's still some opportunities there kind of in the short passing game. And honestly, I kind of look at a team maybe even like in that AFC East, I kind of look at a team maybe even like the Jets. I think if they're wanting to add kind of a proven piece around some younger guys there, to kind of be a depth option. So, I think there's a lot of uncertainty maybe for his landing spot, but I think he's definitely going to be Definitely going to be utilized maybe a little bit more in the passing game than what we eventually saw with him in Kansas City.
You have a guy in Tony Pollard, explosive guy, fast, can return kicks, decent out of backfield as far as being able to catch, but lacks that power element. That game against the Dolphins when the Cowboys could not get short yardage within the 5 yard line, couldn't punch it in with Pollard. Does that stay with him? And do you see him trying to transition back to more of a kind of a running back by committee wherever he goes?
Yeah, I think so. I think it was a little bit more of a disappointing season than what I kind of envisioned for him staying in Dallas. That was still a good year, but it wasn't maybe what I thought it would be for him. So yeah, I think it'll be probably a running back by committee. It'll be interesting to maybe see what kind of offensive playbook he joins, because I think obviously that history of playing some snaps at wide receiver in college at Memphis. I'm kind of interested to see if he'd ever get some chances to kind of line up out wide or in the slot in obvious passing situations. So I think with how good he is as a pass catcher, and like you mentioned, the speed, doesn't really have the power. I think there would be a lot of teams interested. It's hard to really know how much of a maybe a long-term deal he would be getting out there. It might be like a 1 or 2 year deal I could see him landing. So what do you think on Pollard?
I like the fact he's explosive. Just his game, as far as being able to get those shoulders square and have to lean in on somebody, it doesn't happen. He is best as a third down back. He's best as a change of pace back. Number one backs, no matter how big they are, will get those yards. They will get that yard, they will put that head down, and they will run into that line and not do anything fancy. He does everything in his power to not be physical with opposing defenders. And it bothers me because for all that talent, that's the one element that's missing. Speaking of potentially one element that's missing, I want to talk about a high risk, high reward candidate in Cam Akers. Flashes every measure you possibly want. Strength, speed, decent hands. He will be on his third team. What is it about? Is it his personality, lack of production? Because in those years, he's only started 15 games and he's been in 36 of them. Do you think his attitude will cost him, or will somebody take a flyer?
I think maybe someone will take a flyer. Honestly, that's a contender. I guess the only thing I'd be worried about is, yeah, how long for an entire season can you really trust him? I think if you kind of get him around some guys that have really proven themselves consistently, I think on a contender. Honestly, I think if I'm Kansas City, I would not be opposed to maybe getting that kind of change of pace around Pacheco, with Clyde Edwards-Helaire, like we mentioned earlier, and Jerick McKinnon, due for free agency. I could just see some maybe contenders like that have their guy in place that are entrenched as the early down backs, maybe utilizing him in kind of certain situations that could give them that change of pace. So I actually think I would not be surprised if a contender went after him.
Is Ezekiel Elliott done?
It's interesting. I think, man, from I think just his physicality and his physical attributes, I don't really know how much there is left there, but I think there's a role for short yardage, in the red zone, maybe near the goal line. I don't know how willing he'd be able to kind of fit in that role, but if I was a team that would want to at least take a chance on him, those are kind of the spots I'd use him in. So I don't know if he's done, but I think we're getting very, very close.
Now, here's an interesting question because he's also a free agent. Is Cordarrelle Patterson a borderline Hall of Famer? If you look at his stats, four-time Pro Bowl, four-time All-Pro, the Hall of Fame All-2010s team, 9 return touchdowns, has played well enough to, in the run game, in the pass game, is he a borderline Hall of Famer?
I think it'll be really close. If I had to say right now, I'd probably say no. I think he just misses, but I think that return touchdown aspect I think is going to be the ultimate thing that would get him over the finish line. So I think if he can add a few more of those, and maybe if he's able to get a chance to still rush near 1,000 yards or have another really productive season on the ground, I guess I could see it. It feels like they're a little bit more lenient on certain Hall of Fame cases in recent years. I think it's really close, but right now I'd probably say no.
Now, this is a guy we haven't talked about, but he's still super young, but it's just the injury bug. J.K. Dobbins, he has started 10 games in 3 seasons. 10. Missed all of 2021. Is there enough left there considering he's only touched the ball 261 times in 3 seasons where someone will possibly give him like a prove it deal?
I could definitely see a prove it deal. It's been kind of interesting there where I think he requested a trade at one point. Seemed like he was, going to be someone that was kind of in that camp of wanting to break the bank if he was healthy last season. So I guess you got to really kind of figure out what he's kind of wanting and what role he'd be willing to take. But I think if you can force him to take a prove it deal or make him agree to that, I think that's the best thing. But yeah, it's been kind of weird behind the scenes and kind of what he's put out there, I guess, in the public.
Now, the last guy I want to discuss is an old chief, Kareem Hunt. Still is effective, ran for 9 touchdowns. What's his 2024 outlook, and what would you offer him if you were a team?
Yeah, I think his 2024 outlook is probably going to be not really anything different than probably what he was with Cleveland, be that number two guy that can kind of take the pressure off your top guy and top starter. I think his market, I would not be surprised if he actually landed a 2-year deal. 1-year deal may be the more likely thing there, but I think two years, maybe anywhere from 7 to 8 million per season. I could definitely see that as being kind of a good ballpark for him. As far as teams go, yeah, I think it's if the Raiders aren't able to bring Josh Jacobs back, I could see that being a fit. I could kind of see maybe even a team like Minnesota in that Kevin O'Connell offense. They're kind of searching for something after Dalvin Cook was released. So I think with his bruising style, those are a couple spots I could definitely see for him.
Now, as someone else who covers the draft and follows the draft, do you think that if you're a college running back and you're entering college, whose responsibility is to turn you into a better receiver? Is it your offensive coordinator, your position coach, or do you got to ask for the ball in the pass game more? Because I feel as though a lot of colleges will just horse their running backs and just not throw them the ball. So when they get to the next level, their worth is lessened. Whose responsibility is it to make sure that these schools are turning out more versatile backs?
I think I would probably say the offensive coordinator. I was going to say the position coach, but honestly, I think there's just so much more responsibility that the offensive coordinators have. I think there's certain offensive coordinators that are just hell-bent on, like you said, just having these guys be bell cows, not giving them opportunities to even prove themselves much in pass pro. I think there's very few that are really that sound in that area, obviously entering the NFL. So I would probably go the offensive coordinator. I think there's maybe part of it too, you wanting to maybe stick up for yourself and trying to get those extra opportunities. But I think there's so many top colleges too that have multiple running backs that they kind of rely on each game. So I would probably go the offensive coordinators, but I think it's a good question. I don't know what you think, but it's one that definitely makes me think. I don't know if there's a right answer.
I think it is on the OC because they're not developing players where we know guys will come into the league and just have no clue when it comes to being able to catch a pass or being able to run a pattern. So that makes me think at Chris McCaffrey when he was at Stanford, They did a remarkable job of making sure that he did a lot of different things. Versatility, same with Breece Hall at Iowa State. They did a lot of different things with him. They were able to use him in multiple positions. Now, this speaking of, I know we spoke of Cordarrelle Patterson and possible Hall of Fame. Do you think, as someone who has followed this guy for more than half his career, that Breece Holmes has a case to possibly be on the ballot for a while?
I think so. I think just with the production he had, I think the, case of touchdowns is always kind of interesting for Hall of Fame cases. For this year's ballot, I think Antonio Gates was a little bit of a surprising omission. I think with the ability to score that much like he did, I could definitely see him staying on the ballot for a while. I think the lack of longevity is something that could hurt him a little bit. It was such a short run of dominance. I kind of think of another Chiefs running back like Jamaal Charles. I think a lot of people, as Chiefs fans, would probably say that he should deserve a case just because of the production that he had. Yards per carry was kind of up there among the NFL best. I think for both of those guys, though, especially with Holmes, I think the lack of longevity could kind of hurt him a little bit, but I think that ability to score and just be as dominant as he was in that era, I could definitely see him being on the ballot for a stretch.
Do you think that Herman Edwards bears direct responsibility for the derailing of Larry Johnson's career? Because in 06, Johnson, he had 1,789 yards and 17 touchdowns, which is awesome. But he also carried the ball 416 times. And from that point on, he could never stay healthy.
Yeah, it's interesting. There was, obviously some off the field situations too that kind of led to his end of his run in Kansas City. But I think there could be some part of Edwards that kind of led to that, just because, like you said, the usage was up there. I think it's I think it's a little bit of maybe a two-way street, maybe a little bit of his own doing off the field. But I don't think I would completely blame him.
In your mind, what is a good number of touches for a lead back that won't wreck them as far as long term, but will also be able to maximize their effects during games?
I think maybe the most I would probably go for a whole season. I would say maybe a little bit under 300. 300 is maybe the max that I would say for carries. I guess if I'm adding in receptions, I think 350 is maybe the highest I would be willing to go. Just thinking of certain top running backs. So it's kind of hard, I guess, when you throw the passing game in there, but I think for just pure carries, I would probably not go more than maybe 285, 290, 300, somewhere in that ballpark.
I know one of the backs that we didn't mention, but you were speaking of carries. I want you to think about this for a second. Jonathan Taylor of the Colts, when he was at Wisconsin, 50 touchdowns, 6,000 yards, 926 carries in 3 seasons. When you look at that level of production, especially how these backs get hurt, if you are a college back, do you kind of make sure that the coaches know, don't run me 40 times a game.
Yeah, I think I would be I think it definitely depends on maybe what's around you in the running back room a little bit too, but I think you have to be willing to just to kind of remain patient, I think, with them. And I think I think 40 is definitely too much. I think I would not try to go more than 20, 25 at the college level, probably in today's game.
Last question. Do you think we'll ever see a return to offenses that feature the one back more, or have we just gone so far past that where the running back for committee is now the thing?
Yeah, I think the committee is now the thing. I just think there's so many guys that I think you saw it a little bit with James Cook before the offensive coordinator change in Buffalo, for example. I think there's so many times we see one thing kind of hindering certain backs to where it really prevents them from being kind of that number one guy and forces them to be a committee, whether it's fumbling issues or I think you look at some guys that just aren't able to read blocks or have the field vision of others. I think there's always guys that just seem to have an Achilles heel and kind of prevents them from being the only guy carrying the rock.
What's coming up on Full Press Chiefs, and how can people interact with you on social media?
Yeah, you guys can follow me on Twitter or X at Braden Holacek 9, BradenHolecek with the number 9. Also follow at FBC underscore Chiefs and at Full Press NFL. Franchise tackle window will open Tuesday next week. So going to be kind of just looking at the initial list of free agents for the Chiefs and all the pending guys there. But also looking if this is the year that Kansas City could issue the franchise tag, if it'll be necessary or not. So just gonna kind of be opening up the off-season content there. We'll kind of have a lot more on certain pending free agents individually throughout the next few weeks. But yeah, and then I think just more general NFL. I might kind of go through some certain players and situations and maybe list some trades that maybe we want to see happen this off-season if possible. So that's kind of the next few ideas I got coming up on fullpresscoverage.com.
You can follow me at Tequila Biggs. Also, you can read our work at fullpresscoverage.com. This has been another episode of the Full Press NFL Podcast.